Where is Paige when you need him? Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And do pray for your pastor at Presbytery this next Saturday. Okay. Well, you pray. I've never had the privilege to do that in this presbytery, so I look forward to sitting with the brothers in Brevard at the Cornerstone Church and opening the Word of God. I'm going to be preaching from Zechariah 3, so pray that I will not say the doxology when it's the Gloria Patri and, you know, make things like that. Just pray that the Lord will be honored for the opportunity that He gives us. Matthew chapter 18. This passage is a tremendous passage of the unmerciful servant. And we begin just above that parable in verse 15. So let us this morning hear the Word of God. And may the Lord Himself be seen. May His Word by the Holy Spirit be applied to our lives. This is God's Word. Let us be attentive unto it. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. We had that in Revelation this morning, didn't we? If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. He refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Is the Lord among us today? Then Peter came up to him and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Which is a day's wage. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. Here is the key. He refused. Went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to you, every one of you, if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. And may God then add His blessing to this most serious parable and teaching in His Word concerning the outworking of the Christian life as we live in this world for Christ's sake. Let's pray together and we'll seek God's face. Lord, help us. Sometimes, Lord, there are issues that we face in this world, and we need wisdom, Lord, to know how to handle them. We know, Lord, that one of the characteristic things we see in this world is broken relationships. And, Lord, we are heartbroken when we experience them. But, Lord, as we know that in this world these types of things will happen, Lord, speak to us through Your Word. O Holy Spirit, work in us to our hearts might be clear in relationship, Lord, to what You teach in Scripture. And may that Spirit be found in us. May we have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. That Spirit of humility and that Spirit and observation of Your grace bestowed upon us in Your Son, Lord, that we might be able to express to one another in our relationship to them. May this gospel that has impacted our hearts so marvelously, Father, may it not be just a lip service, but may the power of Your Spirit so work in us that we cannot escape the grace that has been shown to us in Christ and the forgiveness that has been poured out upon us who have such great debts in Your presence. And so, Lord, teach us humbly, Lord, by Your grace and with Your help to reach out to those around us and forgive. Lord, have mercy. To love justice and to love mercy. To love those around us and show, therefore, demonstrate to the world that, Lord, we are Yours. And that we have been touched by Your grace. And with Your help, we live in this world in the light of Your Word and with the help of Your Spirit, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, forgiveness. Forgiveness is a big subject to undertake. And the Scriptures here call us to forgiveness, doesn't it? It calls us in a particular way and given great order. And if you notice that the application is given, isn't it? The instruction about how to approach those matters in which we have been offended and how to deal with those things. But then think about that the parable follows with how we respond in Christ to that order of forgiving one another. And as I would say that the issue relates to us and touches us in ways that that all of us probably personally could give testimony about how we have dealt or how we have not dealt with offenses that have come across our path. Matter of fact, though, I say to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ that of all people, we should be able to anticipate difficulties in this manner, in all of our relationships, because at the heart of the gospel, at the very heart of the gospel, which you see in this passage of Scripture, is certainly a relationship where we have offended a righteous God. Isn't that in the gospel? Isn't that at the heart of the gospel? That we who have sinned against God, that fellowship has been broken. And that relationship, as it has been broken, we have no way in and of ourselves to bring about restoration, even restitution before God, for our breaking His holy will and His truth to us. But praise be to God, there is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great mediator, who is the one who has come, and He has had mercy upon our miserable estate, because to be separated from God in sin is a miserable estate. It's an awful condition to be in. Have you ever had a broken relationship with someone that you really love, that you are really close to? How is your heart felt when you know that things are not right between one that is so very close to you? It hurts, doesn't it? It is very painful when relationships are broken. And think about God in all of His righteousness, of how His heart is broken with regard to the sin of this people. But praise be to God, it highlights the grace of God, doesn't it? The grace of God, that He would have mercy upon those who call upon Him and who seek His face and work in our lives and forgive us. And the Scripture is very simple. We who have been forgiven much ought to do what? We who have been forgiven much ought to forgive much. Now, I want you to know that the teaching of Scripture in this regard nowhere justifies a sin. Nowhere justifies a wrong. When we talk about forgiveness, somehow people may get the notion of mistaking what we are talking about as Christians when we forgive, that somehow we are forgetting simply that a sin or a wrong has been committed. No, this encouragement of forgiveness that is to characterize the believer's life nowhere justifies a sin given. So, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God forgives us, we ought to be well acquainted with relationships in the world and with each other, especially within the context of the church, ought we not? But oftentimes how much it demonstrates where we are when we seem to have an inability to forgive each other and to be reconciled. How often has that touched your life? We should be well acquainted not only with the principle of forgiveness because of the gospel and the magnitude of His forgiveness toward us, but we should also be acquainted with the frailty of human flesh in this world and of the nature of sin. One of the things that I tell young couples that are getting ready to be married, anticipate selfishness in marriage. Anticipate difficulty, because where two sinners get together, there's going to be some rubbing of friction. And there are going to be issues sooner or later. And I don't know about you, but those relationships that we've most fundamentally been called to, my dear friends, are the relationships that we ought to guard. Because I tell you what, for example, and I'll be personal, and maybe I ought to not do that in a sermon, but Cheryl knows my weaknesses. She knows what buttons to press if she wants to. She also knows my faults. But by the same token, I know hers. And it requires the grace of God to live with each other in harmony. How many of you married couples would say amen to that? That it requires the grace and mercy of God to live together in harmony and in the love of Christ. Listen, there's not much in this world that holds marriages together. There's not much offered in this world that will keep you together. But how I love the means of grace in Jesus Christ, His Word, His Spirit, the love of Christ, the forgiveness that is in the gospel. Don't all those things assist us and help us in the outworking of our relationships with each other? And my dear friends, when we are taught to pray, when the disciples asked the Lord to teach them to pray, one of the elements, one of the articles and principles of prayer, forgive us our Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, that prayer is not meaning the same type of forgiveness that God gives us in the gospel. When the Lord forgives us in the gospel, it is once for all. Amen? That once the Lord forgives us our sins, He remembers our sins no more. He casts them as far as the east is from the west and into the depths of the sea, and He remembers them no more. Praise be to God for that kind of forgiveness. And that kind of forgiveness ought to temper us in the basic principle of the prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If we're not careful, we may take that prayer and believe that somehow that we are justified by what? That we are justified by works of forgiving others. But that is not what that means. There is not a foundation of justification by forgiving others. Forgive us our debts, and Lord, if we just forgive others, then we'll be accepted of You. If you're not careful, you can read that language and it will seem to come across that way to you, but that is not what is being meant there. It means that if you are in Christ and you have come to Christ in the gospel and you have known the depths of that forgiveness, my dear friends, that forgiveness and then that justification by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the reality of that relationship in coming to Christ and knowing Christ will have a dynamic impact in the way you live your life as a result. I like what the Lutherans say is that that justification is by faith alone, but faith does not stand alone. I like that. It continues. And God works through that justifying work in our life by grace and through faith, through the finished work of Christ, and we are forgiven. And we have full assurance of that forgiveness that we are in Christ. And so we are called upon then as Christians who know that forgiveness to forgive others in our relationship. And this is the word that we have with regard to the life of the church. If your brother, notice the context, that our relationship to one another in the life of His church. And it gives us a direction here. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Now, I guess my first point here as we look at that instruction, and very practical, as a matter of fact, is there anything unclear about that? Well, now, is there anything unclear about the simple direction that the Lord gives it? No, matter of fact, I think it's extremely clear. That's my point. I don't think it can be mistaken. I think it's quite clear, our instruction, if a brother sins against you, do what? Go to your brother and tell him what the fault is. And, my dear friends, it says how. It's a certain way. Go to him in private. Do you know that when many offenses take place, one of the greatest offenses is to be offended by a brother or a sister that sins against you and then go tell the whole world? You see, that doesn't demonstrate the heart of the gospel, does it? And a transformed life. Well, you know what so-and-so did to me. I just want to let you know. I think we all ought to know this. And I want you to know that that is not what the Scriptures say. And if you buy in to the gossip world in which we presently live, you've made a serious mistake eternally. The Bible says that if your brother has offended you, and notice who has the response. I'm not going to him. I'm not going to say anything to him until he apologizes. That's equally wrong, isn't it? If you've been offended, if your brother or sister has sinned against you, you have no out. Do not play the victim. Because God's not going to give you that. Well, you know, Lord, what they did. I'm not even going to speak to them anymore. But let me say you, God does not give the one who is offended an out. And God does not give an out to the one who has been offended. Amen? Am I right? Both have a responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ to reconcile. And how? Privately. My dear friends, in so much in a sinful world that we can solve things. Do you know Christ? Do you love Him? Lord, this is what's happened. Lord, would you show me how I can do this in such a private way that it will create as little disruption in your church as possible? Amen? Lord, this brother or sister has offended me and sinned against me in the church, and I have to sit in the same church with them Sunday after Sunday. Lord, would you give me the wisdom to love my brother or my sister, to pray for them, and Lord, give me the opportunity to do this privately so that, Lord, your church might not be disrupted, that the glory of your honor might not be tainted, that, Lord, it might not be shown as so often that sometimes those Christians just can't get along with each other. Do you see the principle? How precious are our relationships? I tell you the thing I see. I hurt those the closest to me, unfortunately. Doggone my hide. I hurt those sometimes the closest to me. And I'm good for it. How about you? A hurtful word. You know, the very ones that God has placed in our lives as gifts, as wonderful, wonderful gifts. Well, Lonnie, where in the world did that sarcastic comment come from? What in the world are you thinking? To hurt the ones that love you most. To say such things. I'll use my life personally because I won't stand up here and pretend to be preaching at you. Amen? Amen. Lord, haven't we learned before now about how to guard and pray for one another? Listen, my friends, if your relationship, if you're praying for those who are closest to you and you're busy about taking care of them, you won't have much time for anything else. I say to you, if you have a heart of love and forgiveness and care and taking care of your wife and your children and your husband and your family and those around you in the life of your church and you love them, my dear friends, that's a full-time job. And you won't have time for some of this other nonsense that the world plays the game. Going back and forth. It's like playing badminton. Who's going to win the next point? A-boom, 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 a-boom. And listen, if you're sarcastic and you're uncaring and you make cruel comments to each other for too long, what happens? Have you ever seen relationships tear apart because of the constant bickering? Inability to care for each other. One person came to me and said, my wife and I are having problems. Everything I do, she criticizes. He never assumes his responsibility. Somebody's got to tell him. Man, it was like the Civil War in that pastor's office that afternoon. Back and forth, back and forth. And I know it was awful, but I got to the point where I got fed up with it, and I said, well, I just think you two ought to just divorce. I said, you two don't even belong together. I said, it doesn't sound like you love each other. It doesn't sound like you even care for each other. I said, so why are you together? I was a little angry. I shouldn't. Don't get angry at the ones you're trying to counsel and encourage. But have you ever got just frustrated and saying, what nonsense? What nonsense? If you can't get along, why do you even talk to each other? Why do you live with each other? And I have known actually even quote-unquote Christian couples who have lived in the same house, but they've both just gone their individual direction and don't even hardly talk anymore. And I said, well, how are y'all getting along? Well, he's doing his thing and I'm doing mine. It's great. No, it's not great. No, it's not great. Spiritually, it's deadening. And that's not unity. And that's not an understanding of the gospel. And that's not an understanding of how much Christ has forgiven you. And if the forgiveness that Christ has shown you does not impact your daily relationships, then you need to question whether or not maybe you are in Christ to begin with. If you have an inability to forgive. Because I tell you what, the thing that I faced is when I refused to forgive, I became the slave to my spiritual attitude. I was trapped. Lord, I don't care what happens and who says what, I am not going to forgive. I am not going to... Be careful when you say that to the Lord. He has a way of humbling you who have been faulted because you're not willing to forgive. Be very careful. If somebody has offended you and you're not willing to forgive, if you're a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're treading on some dangerous ground. And all I say that if you are one of the children of the Lord and He loves you and He has died for your sins and He has forgiven you, my dear friends, if you are truly His, watch out because He's coming. And He has ways and means to discipline you who think you have been faulted and you are unwilling to forgive. Isn't it funny how the devil can work and turn something around? That person offended me. That person sinned against me. And now I'm offended. And now I'm not willing to forgive. My dear friends, why should you let the fault of another person, the sin of another person, affect your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? And look how the devil does it. He just puts the hook in, doesn't he? And the person sins. And you're the offended party. And then you, the offended party, becomes offended, truly, to the point that you're not willing to forgive, and the devil has you too. Two for one. Hey, two for one. Man, we are winning today. Two for one. Man, that's good progress, isn't it? And listen, I say that in the way that I say it because, my dear friends, I sense that today that people many times are living within the context of brokenness in their relationships. And I say to you that God has spoken in His Word to us about how to live. And some of the most uncomfortable feelings and some of the most heartbreaking situations will come out of a lack of forgiveness in our own heart. I have even watched husbands and wives despise each other. Despise each other. Married in the Lord. Despise each other because of a lack of forgiveness. Now think about living in that type of spiritual condition day after day after day after day. Is that very encouraging? Is it very supportive? No, cherish what our Lord Jesus has given you in the gospel. We have full assurance in Christ of His forgiveness. And day after day, that forgiveness has already been declared. But day after day, you and I have to live a life in which we have the new principle of life within us at work. But is the old man still within us? Is the old man still within a true believer? Yes, and the old man just pops out like the mumps or like measles. It just pops here, there, you know, and you have to keep a close eye on it. As a matter of fact, you and I ought to anticipate. You and I ought to anticipate difficulties in our closest relationships because of sin. That even in our relationship as believers, that listen, we have the great potential to offend each other. Listen, I've done it time and time again. Sometimes I didn't even realize what I was doing because I was being so sarcastic. Oh, you preach it just very sarcastic. And boy, we can cut them when we need to, don't we? All of a sudden, preacher, did you really feel that way? All of a sudden, you realize that by your tone, sometimes it's not what we say, it's how we say it. Amen? Listen, you just need to hear the truth. Kabump, kabump, kabump. And it may be very well the truth, but it's what? With what heart and what spirit we said it. We didn't care about that person. We could care less about that person. We said what we said the way we said it because we despised them. Whoa! Whoa! You mean toward those I love the most? Toward those in the life of the church? That are to be most precious to me, and I am to guard. Oh yes, my friends, we've learned. Have you noticed the language of the culture today? Is the language of the culture very kind today? I feel sorry for some of those who go through some of our committee questioning. Have you ever seen some of the deliberations? It is some of the most heartbreaking. It is some of the most vicious. It is some of the most difficult in terms of words. And it reflects the attitude of the heart. And I love what just one lady said in one of the committees. She said, I came to this committee today to defend my position. But now after hearing all that I've heard of the attack on this person, I'm just sad. I'm just sad about where we've come to. Now, my dear friends, I say this to you, that Christ's words to you in the church are you're to be different. Amen? You are to be different. If you know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, forgiven by His grace, by His cross, by His blood, and by His righteousness imputed to you, my dear friends, pray daily, Lord, forgive me my debts as I forgive others. Amen? Lord, forgive me of my debts as I forgive others. who have trespassed against me. My dear friends, the Bible has a lot to say to us about the outworking of our faith in this world, doesn't it? And in the life of the church. May God grant you grace as you go to His Word and as you live with each other daily as believers. May you stop and think before you say. May you have a change of heart and look at those who offend you. You know what God did to me with the person that I refused to give most in my life? The Lord made me start praying for them and made me start loving them. Because you know what I came to the conclusion of is that person who was so mean and so cruel that if they didn't come to Christ and that they were still lost in their sin when they died, what? That they would be without Christ. They would be lost for eternity. Forever. Forever. And I couldn't take that. I couldn't take it in my heart. I had to pray for them. I had to forgive. I had no choice in the matter. I had to. How about you? Has the Lord ever brought you to that point of brokenheartedness? Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for offending and sinning against my brothers and sisters, and when I do it, taking it lightly. Father, forgive me for being offended so easily and then not forgiving. The parable, we'll stop here. The parable has much to say of being forgiven and not forgiving. Amen? And I pray that you would look at it carefully, that you would weigh it out. Protect those around you. Love those around you. And don't be afraid to ask forgiveness. God will not despise a broken and contrite heart. Amen? Has the Lord ever despised your coming to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Look here, I'm having to come again. Lord, I'm sorry. Have you ever asked the Lord to forgive you? Well, dear friends, how often have you asked that person, honey, will you forgive me? Son, daughter, will you forgive me? Friend, would you forgive me? Listen, I didn't say that in the right way. I didn't say that with the right spirit. Would you forgive me? And what if you did sin in the life of the church? Would you despise a brother coming to you and speaking to you about that? Well, who in the world are you to do that? Would you despise them? Or would you say, well, let me stop and let's pray about this thing. Come on, let's go here in this room. Let's sit down and talk about this and let's work this out. You know, man, you're right. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? The Bible says that if your brother, what? You speak to your brother and you speak to him in private and he repents, you have won your brother. Wow. And think about it. You could be a part of that, of holding all of us accountable. Amen? Holding us all accountable to our relationships. We have the privilege to do that. And I'll tell you why that's so important practically for us as the church is because the Word of God otherwise that we need to proclaim is that there is a judgment coming. There is judgment coming in which God will hold all of us accountable. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to answer for the things done in the flesh, whether good or bad. Amen? 2 Corinthians? So we have great responsibility spiritually. We need to declare to the world that is so cruel, so vicious in these days in their relationships that it may be politics and it may be church politics and it may be whatever, business politics, but judgment is coming. God will hold you accountable for your handling the gospel and the way you've handled your relationships with each other. Amen? Amen. May it jolt us loose this morning from just taking things for granted. May it hit us to see how the gospel really applies to our life where we are. May God help you. I realize that I'm so set in my ways now that Cheryl, she bought a baseball bat in yesterday for some reason. I don't know what that's all about. I just don't know about this thing about forgiveness, but I may have no choice. No, I'm just thinking. She didn't bring a baseball bat. I've got the baseball bat. I'm just kidding. But you know, we need to learn, don't we? Lord, work in us and help us to love each other and help each other along the way. Amen? Amen. The Lord be with you and help you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your great mercy upon us who have sinned, Lord, viciously and deliberately against you. You have forgiven. Where you've said in your word that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, may the dynamic of that spiritual reality of the gospel in our hearts and knowing Christ in our hearts as Lord and Savior and knowing that we have been forgiven and that we belong to Him, that, Father, we are compelled, Lord, to follow suit with our Lord and forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lord, grant us grace. Help us to be careful in our walk and to pray for one another. Because the world separates us. And the world is delighted about that when it takes place, that we are divided. That offense has taken root in a life. And it spiritually has done its damage, Lord. Lord, help us to be aware. Give us your Holy Spirit and an understanding of your Word. Help us to flee to the Word of God if we don't know where else to go. To seek your Word out about what your will for our life is. Lord, grant us grace to follow you, to live for you in this world. Lord, preserve our relationships. We love those around us. Protect us. Guard us, we pray. In Jesus' name.